Proverbs chapter 9, we're going to be looking at verses 10 through 18 today. Verses 10 through 18. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou shalt bear it alone. A foolish woman is clamorous, she is simple, and knoweth nothing. For she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city, to call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As to him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. And so we see here in this entire chapter, as we've mentioned, the first part of the chapter deals with the wisdom is given as a woman that is prepared a banquet, a great feast, and providing and invites people to come in and partake of the feast, of the banquet. That's what wisdom is saying. It's available. It's here if you desire it. And so we're going to look at the opposite of that today, and some other verses too. The opposite of that wise woman, we see the foolish woman in the last part of this passage. Used as illustration, of course, illustrating how the wisdom of this world works and the wisdom of God works, and how both are available. And how they invite folks to be a partaker of one or the other. So we'll look at that here in just a moment. I would like to back up just a bit and give a little bit of introduction, or not introduction, but review. But there's three ones here that's mentioned. Of course, you got wisdom, you've got the foolish, you have scorners, you have simple as well. The wisdom, those who have the wisdom of God, those who have the wisdom of this world. We know to have the wisdom of God, we must know the Lord is our Savior. That comes first. Then there is a daily willingness and desire for wisdom and direction from the Lord. Now, let me read this to you. The fool hates instruction, according to Proverbs 1, verse 7, and is self-confident. He talks without thinking and mocks at sin. The simple are those who believe everything, and everybody, and lack discernment. Please note that term, those words, lack discernment. They are easily led astray by others because they lack understanding, according to Proverbs 7:7. They cannot see ahead, and as a result, repeatedly walk into trouble. Scorners mock at God's wisdom because it is too high for them, but they will not admit it because they know everything. And the Hebrew word for scorner literally means to make a mouth, and we can easily picture them sneering and curling their lips up in scorn. They never profit from rebuke, and as a result, they will one day be judged. That is a concise review of what we've already looked at as far as what the Bible talks about, the foolish, the simple, and the scorner. And we need to keep that in mind because those are dealt with here in this passage again. And over we look at this. Now, when we get into chapter 10, we're going to see much more comparison and contrast. In the first 9 chapters, wisdom is described. And we have an understanding of what wisdom is, what godly wisdom is, true wisdom from the Lord, and what worldly wisdom is. In beginning at chapter 10, much more comparison and contrast. So we'll see that next time, Lord willing. Here in this passage, we're looking at verses 10 through 18. It says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. We've already seen that verse, that phrase a couple of times. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. In chapter 1, verse 7, it says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. That is a description of a foolish person. A foolish person will despise wisdom and instruction, that which can help them, that which can prevent them from taking the wrong path, going in the wrong direction. They despise that. They don't want it. They don't need it. You see, a foolish person, especially when we're talking about the foolishness of this world, is one who says, I don't want the way of God. I know better myself. I know how to do better myself than God does for me. In Job chapter 28 and verse 28, we have another aspect of this fear of the Lord. It says in Job 28:28, it says, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom." Did you get that? The fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. So we have to realize that the fear of the Lord is, yes, it's a reverential respect, a reverential trust for God, but at the same time, it is a separation or a getting away from evil, hating evil, that which is wicked. It says, and to depart, a departure from evil is understanding. Have you ever heard someone say, and you've heard it many times, no doubt, there's no fear of God in this country anymore? Well, they're saying two things there when they say that, or we say that, is that there's not the reverential respect for the Lord that there once was, for the most part. Now, there's some folks that's never had it, but we're talking about the majority, or at least seem like it was common for folks to fear the Lord, or at least to respect churches and the things that were of the Scripture, things like that. But at the same time, there's not only that lack of fear of the Lord, but there's the lack of the respect, the wanting to get away from evil or hatred of evil, to abstain from that which is evil, to depart from evil is understanding. So it's both. The fear of the Lord is both to respect Him, to trust Him. It's a reverential respect, but it's also a hatred of what He hates and staying away from that which He despises and is abomination to Him. Remember, that which was an abomination in the Scripture, it's an abomination today. Even Old Testament verses that talk about something being an abomination, that hasn't changed. The word abomination means a sin that is actually sickening to the Lord. It's disgusting to Him. And so those haven't changed at all. There is this awareness, and we have this form of godliness today in Christianity or churchianity or whatever you want to call it, popular church circles and things of entertainment centers that are called churches, by the way. You know, there's this, let's worship God and let's praise God and let's celebrate God and let's be entertained and all that, but there's no departure from evil. There's no separation from sin. There's no getting away from the world. As a matter of fact, that kind of organization, I don't even like to call them a church, they try to see how much like the world they can be. They try to see how close they can get to the world. That's not what the Word of God teaches. The Bible says we should get away from those that are sinners, sinning and not partake of what they're involved in. Again, that's what we see in this passage. Look at verse 10. It says, "Fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the Holy," or the knowledge of the Holy One. This word holy here is closely attached to the Lord Himself, is understanding. We cannot have this understanding or wisdom without knowing the Lord personally, in a personal way. He is a personal Savior. He's a personal God. He didn't just create this world and say, okay, you guys make it the best you can. We'll see you when you get here. That's not what He did. He's involved in our daily life, I believe, far more than we even realize. Far more than we even can comprehend, He's involved in our daily life. And so the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, because we are listening to the Lord when we are following His Word, then our steps are guided by Him. And we can expect His guidance, can't we? We can expect Him to guide us when we're trusting Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not in thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And so we see here verse 10. This is the verse. It's interesting that it's between wisdom, the the lady wisdom and the lady folly in both parts of this chapter. Folly being the last part, lady wisdom being the first part that offers wisdom of God. And again, these are pictures, these are illustrations of wisdom and foolishness. It says, fear of the Lord in verse 10 is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Understanding has to do with not only what God wants us to do, but why He wants us to do it. Sometimes we don't know why He wants us to make a decision, go a particular path. Sometimes we don't know. We trust Him, though. When He tells us to go a certain way, we trust Him. We don't question Him. And then later on, maybe sooner, maybe later, we'll see. They say hindsight's 20/20. Even the world says that. The world can look back and say, well, I see how all that happened. But we can see as children of God how God led us step by step, path by path, all the way through. If we're trusting Him, if we're living for Him. Now, verse 11 is an interesting verse. It says, for by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. So is this saying that if we have the wisdom of God, the fear of God, the knowledge of the holy, personal relationship and fellowship with the Lord, does that mean we're going to live longer? That's what it says. Now, in a humanistic way, in a material or physical way, those that live for the Lord and are not out on the streets after midnight and doing the things that they shouldn't be doing immorally or with drugs and alcohol, folks that behave themselves and live according to the Word of God tend to live longer. Just by natural, our bodies are not made to live for the devil. They're just not. We need to get a certain amount of rest. We need to take care of ourselves. And that honors the Lord. But then we find here, I think there's something even more to that. For by me thy days shall be multiplied, and the years of thy life shall be increased. In Proverbs 3, verses 2 and 16, listen to these verses. We've looked at these verses before. They're very good. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Who wouldn't want that? That's what we want, isn't it? Length of days and long life. What's the difference between length of days and long life? It's talking about quantity and it's talking about quality. The quantity of our life and the quality of our life. The Lord's in on it. The Lord can help us. The Lord can guide us and provide for us the quality of life that would honor Him and that we would be happy with and be blessed with, realize that He's blessed us. Then verse 16 says, length of days is in her right hand. It's talking about wisdom again. Length of days in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor. Now, you say, well, does this mean that I'm going to be wealthy and have honor? Well, if we have what we need, we're wealthy. If the Lord provides our needs, we're wealthy. We may not be as wealthy as somebody else. Who is? How do we compare ourselves among ourselves? Doesn't the Bible say that when we compare ourselves among ourselves, that's not wise? It says that, doesn't it? So we shouldn't do that. But as far as I'm an heir and joint heir with the Lord, and I can trust in His provision. He said, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Paul said that, Philippians 4:19. He shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. All of them. And so, Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 27 says, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days. But the years of the wicked shall be shortened. That says it quite clearly, doesn't it? That's that comparison contrast I was telling you about just a moment ago. That this comparison contrast in chapter 10, this is the verse that we'll look at along the way, Lord willing. Proverbs 10, verse 27, you can look up, flip over and look at it. The fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Now, we trust the Lord with that, and I can see as churches, people I've known along the way, I believe that with all my heart. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and He addeth no sorrow with it. That's a scripture. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 2 says, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God to keep all His statutes and His commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and listen to this, and that thy days may be prolonged. So there's something here about this that we're going to live longer than we would have. You say, how long am I going to live? I don't know, but I do know this. If we do what this says, fear the Lord like we should, we are going to live longer than we would have otherwise. We can trust in that. We can believe that. Now, let's move on. Verse 12. This is an interesting verse. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself, but if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Basically saying, this verse is saying that we reap what we sow. If we live a life of wisdom, then we're going to benefit from it. But if we live a life of scorning and rejection of God's wisdom, then we're going to reap the fruit of that. We're going to wind up without. We're going to wind up with a curse instead of a blessing. Let me give you a verse. Proverbs 16, verse 27. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. What's that saying? The verse 26 of chapter 16 basically says that because we are hungry, because we need food, that means we work. We labor, right? Did you know that if we didn't need provision, we probably wouldn't work much? Now, some folks are workers. I mean, they work when they don't have to work. But the point is that we work, and sometimes it's doing things that's not fun. Did you know work is usually not fun? Otherwise, it'd be called fun. I'm going to go to fun today. Get up early in the morning, go to fun. It's called work, isn't it? And it's generally not a lot of fun. Now, what's the little saying, all work and no play makes for a dull day? I understand that there needs to be some, there needs to be some understanding here that we need rest and we do need recreation. Those are needed. But it does say that he that laboreth, this verse here, he that laboreth for himself, basically speaking, that so he can eat. That's the point. That's the principle that's given. For his mouth craveth of him. And verse 12 says, if thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. If you want to have the blessings of God, then you'll want his wisdom and do things his way. That's the way. You see, isn't it interesting? Everybody wants God's blessings, but they don't want God. They want his blessings. They want all his provision. They want him to answer their prayers when they pray, but they don't want to live for him in a daily way. No. They want to do their own thing, have their own parties, do their own, run with the crowd. And again, reminds me of my wife, my mom used to say, when you lie down with dogs, you rise up with fleas. You know, well, if you want to run with the dogs, you're going to get fleas. Reminds me also, I've always wanted to make a sign to hold up in my car when I pass somebody that was driving too slow. I always wanted to put up a sign that says, on one side it says, if you can't run with the big dogs, then stay on the porch. And the other side it says, lead, follow, or get out of the way. Now, don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. Lead, follow, or get out of the way. Well, when we run with dogs or when we lie down with dogs, we're going to rise up with fleas. If you want the blessing of God, you have to live for God. Trust the Lord. Allow him to work in our lives. That's what he's saying in verse 12. Now, in verses 13 through 18, we have this description of this foolish woman, this invitation of the foolish woman. Now, let's go back up and read verses 1 through 6 of chapter 9 so we can get the true contrast of this. In chapter 9, verses 1 through 6, wisdom hath builded her house. She hath hewn out her seven pillars. We looked at that last time in James. She hath killed her beast. She hath mingled her wine. She hath also furnished her table, provided this huge banquet. She has sent forth her maidens. She crieth upon the highest places of the city. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. As for him that wanteth understanding, she saith to him, come eat of my bread and drink of the wine which I have mingled. Forsake the foolish and live, and go in the way of understanding. You see the invitation that she gives. It's an invitation. She gets nobody in a headlock or twist anybody's arm behind their back. Wisdom does not do that. God does not do that. But there's an invitation here, and it's open to all. Well, let's look at the invitation of the foolish lady here, or woman, we should say, in verse 13. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knoweth nothing, for she sitteth at the door of her house on a seat in the high places of the city. She call passengers who go right on their ways. Whoso is simple, let him turn in hither. And as for him that wanteth understand us, she saith to him, here it is, verse 17, stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Now I hope you see there's a contrast here. And one is a moral, kind, generous invitation to a beautiful banquet, right? Verses 1 through 6, the first, the invitation of the wise woman. But what do we see the invitation of the foolish woman? Immorality, that of the world, that which is apart from God, that which is sensual, that which is, I want to be careful here, but I want you to understand what I'm saying. The world is becoming more and more immoral, or at least it's becoming more evident, or there's more said about it. There's more revealed. It's talked about more. It's advertised more. It is a point of advertising. We could talk about pornography, and it's a multi-billion-dollar industry just in the United States alone. Immorality. So the sensual part. Then in Bible days, the Gentiles and even the Israelites got involved in it. The Canaanites, those that were occupiers of the land of Canaan, that were idolaters, much of that idolatry in Old Testament times and even in New Testament times, even you get into your Greek gods, the Greek mythology, and all the has a lot of moral immorality involved in it. And a lot of things we could give you the names of the gods that were fertility gods, things where they had just a lot of things going on that we really even shouldn't be talking about. But it was done in Bible days. It was done New Testament times, Old Testament times, and it's still practiced today around the world. And what is it that when you turn your television on, what is it that the commercials are overwhelmed with? What is it that you see and hear everywhere? It has to do with immorality. What is it? You turn the news on and you hear about somebody being abducted, or a child or a teacher having a relationship with one of their students. What's going on? It's always, there's things like that's always happened. We hadn't heard as much of it about it as we do nowadays, because now it's a big story. You know why it's a big story? Because it's sensual. And people want to hear things like that. It's the natural man. So we need to be careful of that and realize that stuff's of the world. That does not honor the Lord. That type of speech, that kind of behavior, that kind of lifestyle, that kind of advertising, and you have, some of you have to work in places where people, the jokes that's being told, the off-color jokes, things that are said, the language that's used in talking about other people and their personal lives. And I grew up, when my dad, construction, well, he had a lot of men that worked for him that did not hold what they had to say, even though I was just a little guy around them. And Dad had to ask them, hey, calm it down, son. We got a little boy here. But they eventually got used to me being there, and I've heard some awful things, some terrible things. And so that is mankind without God. That's the point. That's the truth. And you can read, it's all practiced through the Word of God. History has told us all the different things. It's the Lord knows that we need Him that we might live a godly and peaceable life. And we can't do it without Him. We really can't. And so let me share some verses with you about these. In verses 13 through 18, Proverbs chapter 20, it says, "Bread of deceit is sweet to man, but afterwards his mouth is filled with gravel." Well, you know, it might be exciting, and the passion that you feel for a few minutes or that you experience for a few minutes, what about the regret for the rest of your life? How does that compare? Do you think David regretted that few minutes of passion that he had when he committed adultery? I believe he regretted it, most certainly. All the things that resulted of that, the sword never left his home. And Nathan the prophet said, "You've given the enemies of God cause to blaspheme." Bread of deceit is sweet to a man. You see that? That it's pleasurable. There's pleasure in sin for a moment, for a season. Bread of deceit is sweet to man, but afterwards his mouth shall be filled with gravel. We got some new gravel out here in the parking lot. How about going out and getting a handful of that and throw it in your mouth? What would that be like? Not very pleasant. I'm not going to do it to see, but I can tell you right now, it wouldn't be fun. No. Wouldn't be. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 20, listen to this. "Such is the way of an adulterous woman. She eateth and wipeth her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness." And what's that saying? That's saying that the wisdom of this world or the morality of this world has gotten to the point where people think that it's common and that it is there's nothing wrong with it, and they rationalize their behavior. What's wrong with this? Everybody does it, some of the other old presidents used to say. "Such is the way of an adulteress. She eateth and drinketh, wipeth with her mouth and saith, I've done no wickedness. I've not done anything wrong." Isn't it sad that people can say and do what they do today and have no remorse or guilt about it? But you know, a child of God can't live like that without remorse and conviction. It'll be there. It'll be there. Proverbs chapter 2, verse 18, 19 says, "For her house inclineth unto death, and her paths unto the dead. None that go unto her return again, neither take hold they of the paths of life." Verses 17 and 18 of our passage here in chapter 9, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." Don't you think it would be exciting to be involved in this? Why, nobody's going to find out. Well, God knows, doesn't He? "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant." You see the thrill of doing that which nobody else knows about, apparently. That is allured to that temptation. You see, you have temptation to evil here in this passage. Temptation to just live like the world. But he knoweth not that the dead are there, and that her guests are in the depths of hell. Let me close with this and say, one of the things that children have to deal with, and simple adults, ones that are easily misled, need to be reminded, and we all need to be reminded this probably more often than not, is that there are consequences to our behavior. Consequences. You can't unscramble eggs. I scrambled some eggs this week. Made me a breakfast burrito with scrambled eggs. And when I put those eggs, whipped them up a little bit, poured them in the pan, scrambled them up, that was it. There was no going back. No going back. And so there are things that we can do in this life that we can't undo. Now, I believe that there is, I believe in restitution as far as if it's possible to right a wrong, we ought to. You say, well, I did this before I was saved, so I don't need to worry about it. Well, is it possible to right that wrong? Is it possible to mend that fence and to restore that? Is it possible? If some things are not possible. Some things are just not possible. And that's why we need to be careful. Even for the saved person, we need to be careful what we say, what we do, where we go. Remember that God's watching, and probably somebody else is too. Probably somebody else is too. And there are consequences to our actions. We have to be reminded of that. Consequences to our actions as well as we serve the Lord, isn't there? Don't you want the blessings of God? Aren't you thankful for them?
Yeah.
They're more than can be numbered. We sing the song, Count Your Blessings, Name Them One by One. We never do that, really. You can get started on it. One by one. Blessing after blessing. He's so good to us. And all He asks us to do is trust Him, to follow Him. He knows more about it than we do, doesn't He? We can trust Him to lead us. Our Lord knows the way through the wilderness, as the song says, and all I have to do is follow. Let's pray.